Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented for the third straight year by Hooters, which of course has 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. For those of you outside the greater Tampa Bay area, it doesn't take much for you to locate where your nearest Hooters location is for football watching this weekend. Terrific wings, the beautiful Hooters girls, and of course, plenty of cold beverages, one of which I'm sure you will find to your liking. We also give a shout out to Sean Sullivan, who plays in one of the podcast leagues, representing Bill Curry Ford, huge supporter of the JoeBucksFan.com family, and Sean doing rather well in the Hall of Fame Fantasy League as Ira Kaufman, the Sage, is unfortunately near the bottom of those standings through the first 4 weeks. The risk he took on Ezekiel Elliott paid off. The one on Melvin Gordon has obviously produced nothing, at least to this point. Email, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Remember a few rules on the email. Make one email count, because I'm going to respond to it. I don't want you to respond back and say, oh, okay, well then what about this? I got to move on to the next one. It doesn't mean you can only send one a year, but it's not a back and forth. I got to move on. One shot, ask the question, get out in front of it before Sunday. I do not respond to emails on Sunday. I have my own leagues. I run golf tournaments. I play golf. It's my day. Monday through Saturday is fine. Also, please give me your opinion on players. I've always said, I don't set your lineups. I'm not going to do that because you don't set mine. I've said for the 4 years I've been doing this, don't send me the, who would you start this week, A, B, or C? No. I want to hear your opinion on a player or players, and then I'm going to tell you, based on your opinion, I'm either going to say, I see what you're thinking here, I'm with you, or have you considered this? This isn't Twitter. This isn't rapid fire. This is why I do it via email. You have more characters. You can write out a couple sentences, and you can give me your opinion on your own situation, and then I will respond to it. I think it's more personal that way. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Remember, if you would like to follow me on social media, I only use Twitter to promote things. I do not respond. Some of you have been sending fantasy questions to Twitter. Why? Even on the Twitter bio. More active on Facebook and Instagram. I give you the email, so it's just you and me talking. I am on Facebook, Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, and I am on Instagram, at ToddWright2019. Also, remember, I make appearances with the great Gil Alexander, proof a Cowboys and a Redskins fan can get along, at least professionally. Gil's great to me. On VSiN, every Thursday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, we go through roughly 20 to 25 minutes of various fantasy football items and other assorted information and opinions. Check me out on VSiN. All right, so we're through the first month. I'll keep this podcast pretty quick. Let me go through five quick things. First of all, this week and the emails, and even in my own leagues, because we have two Tates in play. Now, credit you if you know both Tates, because the majority of you only seem to know one. There are two Tates that are in play this week as claims on waivers or plug-and-play options. Maybe they were already on your team. One is Golden Tate. Let's take him first. Golden Tate is joining a Giants team that doesn't get Saquon Barkley back. That's already been ruled out as we speak here on Friday afternoon at 4:30 Eastern time. Daniel Jones' second game wasn't nearly as good as his first. And the matchup in week five isn't very good for Daniel Jones either. Okay, that all said. Golden Tate kind of plays the same position as Sterling Shepard, who has had around eight targets come his way since Daniel Jones took over the starting job. There's a lot of we don't know here as it relates to Golden Tate, how it affects Sterling Shepard, how Shepard affects Tate, who actually gets to play their natural position. How will Daniel Jones connect with Golden Tate? He's had a good thing with Sterling Shepard through 2 weeks. How will Daniel Jones handle the toughest pass defense he's faced yet in his third game? And it doesn't get any easier. I believe the Giants got the Patriots next. I believe that's the next game. So as far as Golden Tate is concerned, and I think this was brought up by someone I read via Roto World or otherwise this week, any Eagles fan will tell you Golden Tate was a massive disappointment after the Eagles acquired him at the trade deadline last year. So I'm not going out of my way to claim Tate or play him this week. There just seems to be too many unknown factors here that suggest I'm looking elsewhere. Now, the other Tate, I believe it's pronounced Auden, could be Auden, former seventh round pick of the Bengals. And yes, the Bengals stink, and they were part of a horrible Monday Night Football game against the Steelers. But Zach Taylor is an offensive guy, and the Bengals are going to score points, put up yardage, especially against bad pass defenses, which Arizona has. So Tyler Boyd is someone you're playing this week. Andy Dalton could be a plug-and-play quarterback. I know it's tough to do after the horrible Monday night game, but his numbers could reflect more of what he did in week one rather than what he did in week four, considering the opponent. The ghost of John Ross is back to being a ghost. Tate now gets those reps. He could potentially get some of those targets. And Ross was productive the first 2 weeks. I think Tate for Cincinnati is the better guy just based on all factors than Golden Tate. I rostered Tate in one of my leagues this week. Not Golden Tate, the Bengals Tate. Just more suggests that is the better Tate this week. Maybe that changes going forward. Okay, so there's Tate versus Tate. Spent quite a bit of time on VEASAN with Gil Alexander talking about Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard, a couple of years ago, won me a division title. I'm synonymous in fantasy football, ironically, a lot like Billy Beane's Oakland A's. They do well in the regular season, and then the playoffs, it doesn't work. I won a division title in a league I played in just 1 year because the woman who normally played just didn't have time to play. Friends of hers said, maybe Todd can run your team. I did run it, and then I gave it back to her. That year, Jordan Howard a few times really came through for me with big games on the ground. But he was a very inconsistent player. The Bears didn't feel they could throw the ball to him out of the backfield. And this offseason, they move him to the Philadelphia Eagles, who had parted ways with Jay Ajayi. By the way, Jay Ajayi is a name you need to keep an eye on now. We hear he's healthy. Someone's going to sign him to be a first or second down and or goal line back. It's coming. If you have an available roster spot in the coming week or so, it's not a bad idea. He's going to end up somewhere. But back to Jordan Howard. The big game last week, and that was a Thursday night spot for the Eagles where it's like, all right, if you're the Eagles, it's like, let's go here. All right, we need to start winning games before this division gets away from us. They won that game against the Packers, and Jordan Howard had a huge hand in that. My expectation is that Howard could be the more valuable fantasy back going forward. It doesn't mean he's going to put up three touchdowns this week. He was inconsistent with the Bears, but he has some big games. You know, one of the things NFL Fantasy Live does on NFL Network is they talk about floor. I think they go floor, upstairs, attic. Or is it floor, attic, ceiling? Something like that. Having those players that can give you those huge games are important. They can win you weeks. Howard probably, for the few lineups he was actually in last week, and he sure as heck won people money in DFS. I have picked up and rostered Jordan Howard, thinking about playing him this week. We'll see, depending on some other things with the Chiefs backfield. Looks like Damian Williams is good to go, which might mean Darrell Williams isn't. But Darrell was very effective on the goal line and in short yardage. I'm not writing him off. I'm not cutting him either. But Jordan Howard, to me, going forward, might be the back you want to have for the Eagles, even if he doesn't produce every week. There might be two or three more big games in him this year. Sometimes it's just tough to know which ones. Russell Wilson came into this week as the number three quarterback in fantasy, behind only Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. I have no idea why Russell Wilson has this bad reputation in fantasy football. It's almost like Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett talk to these fantasy players who hate Russell Wilson as much as they do. Ironically, Bennett, no longer in Seattle, Seahawks keep winning. Richard Sherman, no longer in Seattle, Seahawks keep winning. Russell Wilson, still in Seattle, Seahawks keep winning, just beat the Rams in a great Thursday night game, and now are ahead of the defending NFC champions in the NFC West. I owned Russell Wilson last year. I didn't go back to him this year. I wasn't anti-Russell Wilson at all. The only reason I didn't go back to him was because the Seahawks, as the Steelers had the highest rate of passing plays, the Seahawks had the highest rate of running plays. And that's why I said to myself, okay, well, if they're going to run it this much, maybe I should look elsewhere for my quarterback because I want more passing plays with a mobile quarterback. So I didn't. I don't have Wilson. I wish I did. My opponent in the Foundation League got nearly 30 points out of him in that Thursday night game. And whether it's in reality or in fantasy, Russell Wilson is an impressive quarterback to be a fan of or to own. Vikings situation. for those of you that have been very pleased with Dalvin Cook, there are as many of you displeased with the production of Thielen and Diggs. And for those of you who drafted Cousins, as someone who had him last year in a two-quarterback league, you should have known better. This is messy. It looks like Diggs is going to be traded. I'm more convinced Diggs is going to be traded than Jalen Ramsey. The Vikings are run first. I mean, it's not bad. I don't see them contending for a Super Bowl with this group. Cousins has one more year after this year on that $84 million three-year deal, $28 million per year guaranteed. Thielen spoke out. Cousins at least publicly said, you know what, you're right. I got to do better. It's one thing for Cousins to admit he has to do better, and another thing if he's just hit his ceiling. And opponents know how to make him uncomfortable back there. Cousins is very bad sensing a backside pass rush. He either doesn't slide away from it, or he doesn't have that clock in his head that says, get rid of the ball. And for an Adam Thielen to speak out like that, I think says a lot about where this is at. So if you're a Dalvin Cook owner, and I'm one of them in the podcast league, look, I've been thrilled. It's worked out great. But I'm wondering what's going on here. So I will start thinking about maybe selling high on Dalvin Cook. First of all, he hasn't gone a whole season without getting injured. And you wonder if the Vikings are going to try to tweak some things to get everybody on the same page. Because it's not like they're out to a 4-0 start and looking like, you know, now that the Rams clearly look vulnerable after the last couple of weeks, no one's pointing at the Vikings and saying, them. They're not. It's like we're waiting for the Saints to get Drew Brees back. We're looking at Seattle. People are looking at the Cowboys, want to see them beat a quality team. Green Bay this week. Green Bay always beats the Cowboys. It pisses me off. Going back to the Ice Bowl, the Dez caught it game, the playoff game 2 years ago, 3 years ago, which I was in attendance at. Cowboys down 21-3, came back, 28-10, came back, 31-28, came back. And Crosby hits the walk-off. Or is that a kickoff? I guess it's a walk-off field goal. You can't call it a kickoff. But no one's pointing at the Vikings and saying, yeah, them. So even I am thinking, all right, what can I get for Cook right now? The picks worked out. He's been terrific. But how is this all going to play out in Minnesota? It seems like you got a lot of unhappy people. And at some point, will that impact Cook, or will he just not be able to physically handle this kind of a workload? Because there are going to be games where the game flow doesn't benefit him. Last thing as it relates to this podcast, I put to a vote this week in the podcast league something I've done in the foundation league. It was actually brought to my attention by my terrific friend, the longtime sports director of the CBS affiliate in Tampa Bay, now working for Innisbrook Golf Operations, my pal Dave Worth, that I do some TV with as well. Dave suggested a couple years ago, he said, hey, have you ever thought of, you know how there's always that one fantasy owner that gets the bad matchup every week and he'll put up a ton of points and lose and he'll actually have the second most points that week and he still gets a loss and it's just kind of bad luck? He said, have you ever thought of creating a playoff spot for the team with the most points? And I researched it and I thought it was a good idea. So we implemented it in the Foundation League last year, where, just to give an example, the Foundation League is 10 teams and the top six make the playoffs, because I like the idea of teams that do well in the regular season getting first round byes, just like the NFL. So the 1 and 2 get a bye, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. But what we did last year was only the top 5 of 10, that's half, got in with win-loss as the first factor. Now, obviously, if a team is, we play a 13-week regular season. So if a team is if we have two teams at 8-5, we use the tiebreaker as total points. not head-to-head, less likely to have another tie. But as Dave suggested and I agreed, we then said, all right, the sixth and final spot would go to any team left below the top five in win-loss and tiebreaker with the most points. That's all that matters. You could go 0-13. And if you have more points than the other four that didn't make it in win-loss, you're in. You get the wild card. We did it last year, and ironically, the team with the most points of the remaining five actually would have gotten in based on record. We'll see if it happens this year. But I put it to a vote just this past week in the podcast league, because in the podcast league, Val, our one and much appreciated female owner in the podcast league, Val is third in points behind only, I believe, the Joe Bucks fan team, which was more of a team effort than I thought, between Bob Fenton of the Free Stretch podcast and Joe himself. I didn't know Joe was texting Bob during the draft. Nice job. They're showing the way through 4 weeks in the Todd Wright Tour podcast league. Then there's me, even though I'm 2-2, I'm second in points. And then Val is third at 0-4. So this protects her. If she can maintain this pace of points, I put to a vote, should we have a wild card? And it's a 12-team league. So I put it out, and I don't have a vote, so that meant the 11 other owners had a vote. As Jeff Probst would say, we got to six yeses against one no. That's enough. So it passed. So we will have the top five get in primarily on win-loss and then total points as the tiebreaker. But the sixth and final spot, just like the Foundation League, the wild card, win-loss does not matter. We are rewarding who got the most points out of their starters for the season and getting them in as the wild card and succeed. It's something that I'm glad Dave Wirth brought up to me a few years ago, and I'm happy that I use it in the Foundation League, and I'm happy, for what it's worth, that it was approved via vote this week in the podcast league. If you don't use it, might want to consider it. And yes, you can implement it right now, the same way I did. The way it works is, and I know this via Yahoo, at the end of the year, you can, at the end of your regular season, you can make your playoff brackets. You can move whoever you want into whatever bracket. Obviously, you need to have your league sign off on this, otherwise they're going to know. But yes, you have the opportunity to set your playoff bracket as you wish, and if you are moving someone based on total points into a spot where a team that would otherwise be in that spot with win-loss, you can do it. I know you can do it via Yahoo. I would imagine you can do it whether it's I hated CBS for fantasy football, but NFL.com, ESPN, etc. All right, remember the email at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. And remember, get all your emails to me before you go to bed on Saturday night. I will not respond on Sunday. The only people who email me on Sunday are the ones who don't listen to this podcast. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for subscribing as well. Presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.